Very nicely done. Thank you. It's kind of an obstacle course up here a little bit sometimes, thanks to COVID and the safety precautions that we've had to put in place. But they still did a very nice job, so thank you guys. At this time, we're going to go ahead and release the children back to Children's Church with Mr. Vernon and Mr. Hickok. I see quite a few kids here this morning. Praise God for that. For those of you that don't know, Mr. Hickok, Matt Jr., who has a full beard. He shaved it off for Halloween and it's already back. He got his driver's license this week. So praise God for that. We have quite a few teenagers that are able to drive themselves to youth group now. So praise God. Continue praying, please. But you know, just a couple years ago, we didn't have any kids in youth group that were old enough to be able to drive themselves to youth group, and now we have quite a few that are, so praise God for that. I want to spend a couple minutes just talking about some things that I'm thankful for this week. The first one that comes to mind, because it's all over the auditorium here, is Becky Riggenbach spent a lot of time yesterday coming in and setting up Christmas in here. So thank you very much, Becky. I am thankful for Matthew passing his driving test on Wednesday and then getting his driver's license on Friday. So praise God for that. I'm thankful for you. You know, I'm thankful for we received a letter from the Paz family this past week, and I posted it on the church's Facebook page. And if you haven't seen it, just talking about how thankful they are for our congregation, and it prompted me to think just how thankful I am for all of you, even though this time has been very strange. You've continued to be faithful to Jesus and to this church. You've been faithful in your giving to where we haven't had to stop paying any pastors or any missionaries during this time. It's, you know, while some other churches are talking about whether or not they're going to be able to reopen their doors, that hasn't been the case here. It's been a real blessing to... You know, none of us have wanted to go through this weird 2020 pandemic year, but God has been faithful and so have you. So I'm very thankful for all of you. This morning I want to talk about Jesus being our Prince of Peace. We lit the peace candle this morning, and as the wolves read some passages about Jesus being the Prince of Peace and about having peace through him, I shared on the church's Facebook page earlier this week about Don Richardson and the book, The Peace Child. Now, here's the thing. I already knew that I was going to be speaking about peace and having peace through Jesus Christ today, but every week, Pastor Andy and I have staff meetings, and most weeks, like this one, we actually had a couple different staff meetings. And I was sitting in his office, and I looked at his bookshelf, which, if you've ever been in Pastor Andy's office, he has books all over the place. He had one particular little tiny bookshelf next to his desk, and for whatever reason, God drew my eyes to this one particular book that was on his shelf, and it was called The Peace Child. And I was not familiar at all with the story of Don Richardson or the Peace Child, but Pastor Andy and I started talking about it. He right away knew all kinds of things about Don Richardson and the Peace Child, and I didn't know anything. And he told me what a great story it was. And I started looking some things up online, and here's the story of Don and Carol Richardson and their trip to New Guinea as missionaries to share the gospel with the Sawi tribe. Okay, they decided in their early... Actually, I listened to a testimony where Don said when he was 17 years old, He was sitting in a church service, and there was a missionary from Africa, and he said, I don't know who it was, and I don't know where he was from, just that he was from Africa. And he started talking about the work that he was doing, sharing the gospel in Africa, and Don said, my heart was prompted that I needed to become a missionary. And so they decided that they were going to go to Indonesia, of all places, and that they were going to bring the story of Jesus Christ to this group of people called the Sawi. Now, there was about 3,300 of these Sawi people, okay? The Sawi were known for cannibalism and headhunting, even as recently as the 1950s. 1950s. Did you hear that? 1950s. This is early 1960s when they're going to bring the gospel to the Sawi people. So they prepare and they head over to Indonesia, and Don makes contact first. He travels down the river by himself to meet these Sawi people. Now, I think that if I was him, I might not have all of the peace in the world doing this. And yet he bravely goes and he meets the Sawi people, and they don't understand his language, and he doesn't understand their language. And he uses sign language to tell the people why he's there and that he's going to leave them, but then he's going to come back in 3 days. And somehow he gets the message across, and he heads away to go pick up his wife, Carol, and their 7-month-old son, Stephen, and bring them to the Sawi people. How many of you would say, I'm not sure I'm ready to make that trip? But they did. Now, they make the trip to where the Sawi people are, and when they arrive, there are 400 people waiting for them. Remember, they didn't understand each other's language. He said, I'm going to be gone for 3 days and I'm going to come back. And when he came back, there was 400 people waiting on the shore for the arrival of his canoe. Now, I'm not sure if it was him or another missionary said, we weren't sure if we were going to share a meal with them or if we were going to be the meal, right? So he goes to the tribe and he begins to learn. He actually said that they had been waiting for somebody to come to them, which is amazing, the Spirit of God, right? He arrives and they welcome him into their tribe. He builds a home there. He lives among them. His wife, Carol, is a nurse. And so she's able to take care of some of their medical conditions that they had no access for, things like malaria and things like that. She's able to treat those things. And slowly over time, the tribe begins to accept and adopt them. However, the tribe, they were very violent people. In fact, people take for granted here in the United States the effects that Christianity has had on our culture. We don't even think about it. But for example, not everything that it seems common sense to us is necessarily common sense in every culture. So one of the things that he's telling them about is he tells them the story of Judas betraying Jesus. Now, all of us, because we are well familiar with the story of Judas being a disciple of Jesus Christ and then turning Jesus over, we look at Judas as what? The bad guy, the traitor, right? He tells them the story of Judas, and they look at Judas as the hero, because in their culture, if you could trick somebody, then you were really wise and they were the dupe. So in our culture, we look at Judas and go, he's the traitor. Jesus is the hero of the story. They look at it and go, no, Judas is the hero of the story, and Jesus is the dupe. So there were things you couldn't even take for granted that people would understand from a naturalistic position in their morality. He had to start from before the very beginning, right? Now, he's among them, and they don't even have a written language. They have a language, a spoken language, but they don't have any type of a written language even. So as he's there with them, he develops a written language for these Sawi people. And then he teaches them how to read their language that he created. He said, I even had to create an alphabet for them. He teaches them how to read their own language. And then after he's created this language, he's taught them how to read it, then he translated the entire New Testament into their language. I listened to the story and my mind was just blown by all of the things that they went through, knowing that they were cannibals and headhunters, knowing that there was going to be a language barrier and overcoming that, knowing all of these things, knowing how violent the tribes were, and yet they willingly gave up their cushy life in the United States to travel over there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. But there's more to the story. I told you before that the Sawi tribe was a violent tribe. There were other tribes in the area, and there were essentially no old people in these tribes. Because of the diseases and because of the violence towards one another. So one tribe would war against another tribe for essentially no reason. And eventually, as Don and Carol were doing their work as missionaries here in the among the Sawi people, they came to a decision that either the violence was going to have to stop or they were going to have to leave. So they told the tribe that the violence between the tribes was going to have to stop or we were going to have to leave. And here's what the tribes did. Each tribe took a child from their tribe and adopted it out to one of the other tribes. It was called the peace child. So a family in one tribe would take one of their children and have it adopted into the other tribe. Now, think about the great sacrifice that was being made by both sides on this. Because if you were a parent and you're saying, I'm going to give up my child in order to be adopted into another tribe. And then the reason that that caused peace with that other tribe is because you now don't want to war with this other tribe because they are taking care of and raising your child. My mind was just blown by this concept. And they were able to establish peace between the tribes because each tribe gave up a child for adoption. And Don Richardson, he's pretty amazing when it comes to finding illustrations to bring things back to the gospel. But just think about this. Isn't that exactly what our Heavenly Father did in order to bring us peace? He willingly gave his son Jesus into this world to be our peace child. And that's how Don Richardson was able to begin sharing the gospel with the Sawi people. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So I posted on the church's Facebook page, are you familiar with this? And only a couple people, Jeff Garr, responded that he was familiar with the story. In fact, Jeff said that he went running with Don Richardson one day. I think that would be a fantastic opportunity. I was kind of thrilled, to be honest, that many of you had not heard the story before, because I wanted to be able to share it with you. He shared the story of Jesus Christ being the peace child that brings peace between God and man, but not only between God and man, but then between man and man as well. And I want to, towards the end of the message this morning, I'm going to share with you a short video of Don Richardson explaining one of the many paintings that he did, because he was a fantastic artist in that he was able to paint a painting and make that painting tell a story that that he then got to explain and explain how that story related to Jesus Christ being our peace. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2 this morning. We're going to look at Jesus being our peace child. And as I told you, this message this morning is called Thank God for Peace. So before we look at Luke chapter 2, I'm going to just pray, and then we'll go right into Luke chapter 2. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his willingness to come, to be born of a woman and be placed in a manger. I thank you, Lord, that he grew up, that he lived a sinless, perfect life, and that he willingly gave up that life on our behalf. Lord, I thank you that he is the one that brings peace between us and you, Lord. And I thank you for the story that we find in the Gospel of Luke about the day of his birth. Father, I pray that you would use this to bring us peace in these troubled times, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Luke chapter 2. We'll get there. Ty, I'm looking for the one that says Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. There we go. Perfect. Thank you. All right, so here's the story. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, which was the town of from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. So that's the context of our story this morning. Most of you, it's a very familiar story. It's part of one of the things that many of us read during this season of the year. It's tradition for us that Joseph took his betrothed wife, who was with child, and we're told in other sections of the scripture that that child was of the Holy Spirit, and they went to Bethlehem, which it had been predicted is where Messiah was going to be born. So they go to Bethlehem, and Jesus is born. And then, right after this, after Jesus has been born, there's a passage of scripture that I want to share with you. It says, in the same region, so in that same area around Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Now I bring up on the screen here the first two verses of that section, verses 8 and 9 of Luke chapter 2. It says, in the same region, and of course I already mentioned that same region is referring to the area surrounding Bethlehem. There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, I looked up in the Greek what that phrase is, that phrase, great fear, because can you imagine yourself, just put yourself for just a second as a shepherd out in the field. You know how this is going to work. You're going to take your sheep out. You're going to essentially live with them. You're going to smell like sheep for a long time. Every day is going to be the same. Every night's going to be the same. Except for this one night. This one night's different. It's peaceful and it's quiet. And all of a sudden, poof. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, Betsy and I used to live up in upstate New York when we were going to Word of Life Bible Institute. And you could go out into the wilderness. There were places where it was just absolutely pitch black at night and you could see the stars everywhere. There was no light infiltrating at all into those areas, right? And you could see amazing pictures of the stars. Now, picture yourself as a shepherd out in the field and that's your situation. It's dark, it's night. There's stars all around. And then all of a sudden, poof, the angel of the Lord appears to you. And the glory of the Lord shines around them. That's different than your normal night, right? It says great fear. They were filled with great fear. It's the phrase megas phobia. Now, we're familiar with phobia, right? Fear. And we're familiar with that word mega, great. Now, imagine yourself there. Imagine this is you. The angel of the Lord appears to you, and you're filled with this great fear. In fact, the NIV translates it a little bit differently. It translates it, they were terrified. They were absolutely terrified. And you know what the angel says to them? The angel says to them, fear not. That's the first thing the angel says to them. They're absolutely terrified. They have no idea what's going on here. And the first thing the angel says is, me phobeo, which means fear not. And then the angel says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Okay? So the angel appears, they're completely terrified. The angel says, don't be afraid. You're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And then, I accidentally skipped one verse, I'm sorry. This was an important verse. It says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior is born. And then it says, this will be a sign to you. Okay? Now, it's important that we get this in the right order. I didn't read that whole section here, okay? Now, he says, a Savior will be born to you. And then he says, this will be a sign to you. Now, what's this idea of a sign? It's the idea of a proof that what I'm saying is true. Sometimes God will give signs to verify what he has said. So in this case, he says, this is going to be your sign. You're going to go to Bethlehem and you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Okay? So he says, go to Bethlehem and it will be proven to you what I'm saying. But what is it that he's promising? What is it he's promising that they're going to find there? The baby wrapped in a manger, yes. But who is this baby? It's Jesus, that absolutely. It's Jesus. But even more important than that is it is this promised Davidic Christ Savior that has been promised for generations. It is, you'll find in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So the shepherds are to go to Bethlehem because if they go to Bethlehem and they find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger, then they know that that baby is the Savior of the world that has been promised for hundreds and thousands of years. And guess what? They go and they find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. After the angel has said this to them, a whole host of angels show up, and we think of them as singing, but the scripture actually says they were saying, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, many of you may be familiar with other translations of that particular passage. This phrase may not sound familiar to you. Maybe you're more familiar with what the King James and the New King James say, peace and goodwill towards men. Or maybe you're familiar with what the New American Standard says, peace among men with whom he is pleased. The NIV translates it, peace on those with whom his favor rests. The New American Standard puts a footnote here. I usually don't include the little footnote thing there, but it includes a footnote here. It says, literally, of good pleasure or of goodwill. The King James also includes one that says the NU text reads, towards men of goodwill. Now, that NU text means the oldest manuscripts that we have available says of men of goodwill. So the idea here being that those who have peace with God will have peace on earth because of this Jesus. Peace among those with whom God's favor rests. Now we know about God's favor, right? What's another way of saying God's favor? It's the word, it's translated in other places, grace. Grace, right? It's unmerited favor. It's favor that we haven't earned. We know a lot about grace, right? Because we know that we, in and of ourselves, we don't deserve the forgiveness of God. We don't deserve eternal life. We have sinned against Jesus, against God, and we are in need of a Savior, right? And it's by grace we are saved through faith. Not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of anything that we do, any works or anything like that, not as a result of works, so that we can't boast, so that we can't brag that we earned our favor with God. No, grace is something that we can't earn. It's something that we can only receive through Jesus Christ. And the angels bring a message of grace to these people. And they're told, if you want proof that what we're saying is true, just go to Bethlehem. And when you go there, you're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. The angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So now they're going to go to Bethlehem, and they're going to see the proof of the things that the angels had promised them. Well, what do we know about God's promises? If God has promised, he will fulfill. Amen? So the angel of the Lord has appeared to them, and he said, a Savior, Christ the Lord, is born in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. Go to Bethlehem. You're going to find him there. That will be your proof that God has sent a Savior. And they say, you know what? We need to go to Bethlehem and see whether or not this thing is true. And so they do. They go to Bethlehem, and they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They had their proof that what God had said was true. What do you think about that great fear that they had when the angels had first appeared to them? Do you think they still had that great fear? I don't think so. That anxiety that they had been burdened with, were they still carrying that as they arrived in Bethlehem and they saw that baby lying in a manger? No, I don't think so. I think they were filled with peace at that point. You know, I think a lot of times we carry anxieties around that we don't need to carry around. Why do we carry them around? Because the thing in front of us brings great terror to us. Because we're focused on what's ahead of us, and we're not focused on Jesus. We don't have our eyes fixed on Jesus. And so the trials that we face in life, they bring us great terror. They bring us anxiety. But peace is found in the peace child. Peace is found in our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, 8 days later, 8 days after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary wanted to fulfill their obligations, and the Mosaic law said that after 8 days after a child was born, they needed to be taken to the temple and dedicated to the Lord. So Joseph and Mary decide that they're going to take Jesus, as they should, to the temple to be dedicated. And there's a very special story, I think, in the next section of Luke. And I want to read to you a little bit here because it leads to peace again. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord. Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that phrase, the consolation of Israel, mean? It means that there were things that were promised in the Old Testament about Israel, and he was waiting for those promises to be fulfilled. Now, remind me again, is God faithful in his promises? He is absolutely faithful in his promises. So Simeon was devout and righteous and waiting for God to fulfill the things that he had promised. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So the Holy Spirit promises to Simeon that he's going to see the Savior before he dies. Okay? And he came in the spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in what? Peace. Now you are letting your servant depart in peace. I wonder if there wasn't maybe a little anxiety in Simeon because the Lord had promised that you were going to see the Savior before you die. And Simeon was getting old. I wonder if he wasn't 100% sure that God was going to be faithful in his promise. I don't know. But Simeon's statement about allowing him to depart in peace says a lot to me. It says God had promised Simeon that this was going to happen, and Simeon, grabbing onto that promise, was able to find peace. And he says, not only peace, but he says, according to your word. I think that's important. You know why that's important? Because there are other things in this book that God has promised that have not yet been fulfilled. And we know that God was faithful in the things that he said to Simeon. He was faithful in the things that he said to the shepherds. God is faithful in that when he promises, he will fulfill. So any of the things that God has said, even still about our future, those are things that we can take to the bank. We can trust that if God has promised, he will fulfill. Now Simeon continued, he said, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He's talking about Jesus. My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. This word marveled, it's the idea of they were amazed about the things that were being said about their son, Jesus. In spite of the fact that they had already been told that he was going to be the Savior, they marveled at the things that were being said about him. Simeon was given a promise by God, and God fulfilled it. Now, Jesus also gave us some promises before he departed, and those promises, some of them revolved around the idea of peace. But as I talked about last week, when Jesus came and was in the cradle, that was not the end of the story, was it? Without Christmas, there could be no Easter. And without Easter, Christmas is insignificant. Because there was a Christmas, we could know that there was going to be an Easter. And because there was an Easter, we can know that one day God is going to fulfill the rest of his promises. So I prayed this in our prayer meeting before service this morning. I for whatever reason, God brought to my remembrance the verse where Jesus said, I'm going to depart to the Father, but it is to your advantage that I go. And I thought about the disciples and I thought, they must have been thinking, that is the craziest statement I have ever heard. You're going to leave us and it's to our advantage that you go? How can that be possible? But Jesus continued and said, without me going to the Father, I can't send the Spirit. And we know that from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, that when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. If you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit of God with you. That Holy Spirit, he's called in another passage, the Comforter. the Comforter. In other words, he's the one that brings us peace. When we have anxiety, we have within us the Holy Spirit of God who can bring comfort. Here's what Jesus said shortly before he departed. Shortly before he was crucified, actually. He says, "Peace I live with you. I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." He's not looking to give us peace like the world gives. He gives a totally different type of peace, a peace that passes all understanding, right? So that no matter what circumstances we go through, no matter how dark and bleak things look, we can still find that peace. He says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." And then after he was raised from the dead, I think it's very interesting. I was studying these different passages this week. Just how important it was when Jesus appeared after he was raised from the dead that he assured the apostles of peace. It says, as they were talking about these things, Jesus stood among them. This is after Jesus has been raised from the dead. And he said to them, "Peace to you." John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, that's the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then just a few short verses later, but a whole 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Does God want us to have anxiety and have tribulation? No, he wants us to have peace. But where does that peace come from? It comes from trusting Jesus. That's why we know that no matter what comes upon us, it doesn't matter. There are promises yet to be fulfilled that God will fulfill. One of those being that one day we will see him face to face. There will be no more crying and no more tears. All the tears will be wiped away, and we will have everlasting peace. The peace that only God can bring. I'm going to forego that Don Richardson video. I'll post it on the church's Facebook page and I'll email it out to those of you that are on our email list. If you're not, make sure you talk to either Denise or myself so we can get you on that email list. But the bottom line that I want you to understand this morning is that one of the great reasons that Jesus came to this earth is so that we don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the future. We can have great peace regardless of what happens to us. Amen? All right. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is the Prince of Peace. We thank you that he is the great and awesome peace child, Lord. He is our peace. Father, I pray that even as we have circumstances come upon us that bring us anxiety, that bring us even great terror, we would turn to you, Lord, and recognize that you have promised and you will be faithful. You will fulfill your promises. Father, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.